across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
On this Monday, June 5th, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio on this National Startover Day. As I was looking at the national calendar, it's always, you know, some day for something. I think yesterday was National Cheese Day. Today is National Startover Day, which isn't quite what we're doing here, but kind of, sort of, at Civic Media, that we're starting in some new markets in the Chippewa Valley and in La Crosse and Racine, in Hayward. As Civic Media continues to grow, and we appreciate you being along, the website there is civicmedia.us. We haven't changed. Up North News Radio is still here every weekday from 6 to 8 in the morning. But a large part of the daily schedule on all the various stations changed, and we will outline those for you later this hour. But again, if you go to civicmedia.us, you'll see all the stations, the old ones, the new ones, all of the shows and their times. And again, if you can't hear them live, you can listen on the website, or you can subscribe to any of our shows as a podcast. We take each hour and break it down into a podcast episode. So our last hour, our 6 a.m. hour, is now, or is about to be, downloadable as a podcast. And the same thing will happen here about an hour from now. But first, I guess I should tell you what's coming up in this hour. It is Pride Month. And in our biweekly Motherhood Monday segment, we will talk about the intersection of parenting and the LGBTQ community, including same-sex parents or LGBTQ youth, or how allies can show their support and stand up against what appears to be a growing wave of ugliness out there. And so we'll have all of that for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. Until then, as if you have any questions or comments on things that we've talked about so far this morning, or want to bring up a new topic, our studio line is 844-967-2789. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And a reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are very happy to use up 2 hours of their real estate every weekday morning. But as a separate entity, you'll find the work that our team is doing at upnorthnewswi.com. And we'll talk a bit more about Up North News and our parent company, Courier Newsroom, coming up in just a bit. But, you know, first, we just wanted to get into a bit more about the weekend. Aaron Zommers is in Madison, where we will talk about that as well. You were up in the Manitowoc area. And then, because Memorial Day weekend, you just hung around in Madison, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So apart from the dance recital, did you get to do anything fun or recreational up there? Or were you just a social butterfly with the family?
More the latter, although I also had a surprise visit from my college roommate, Ethan, who he lived with me in Madison here, and then he moved out to pursue a graduate degree in Michigan. And he sent our friend group chat a message on Friday evening or afternoon, like, hey, you guys want to watch the new Spider-Man movie tonight? And we're like, you're in East Lansing. And he's like, I'm just going to come to Madison now. We're like, you're just going to drive 6 hours on a whim? Sure, I'll be glad to see you.
Well, that was nice. I mean, I'm jealous is what I'm trying to say here, that, you know, at some point you can just take 6 hours and go, I'm going to go drive and see my friends, you know,
before, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Say, shall we say, family obligations and things get in the way of that, or old age in my part, because now I'm too tired to drive 6 hours for anything. But yeah, there once was a time where we would be in college at Eau Claire, and somebody would get like homesick, or they couldn't get a ride. You know, they couldn't find a ride on the ride share board. And I'd be like, well, I got nothing going on. So we'd pile into our 73 Plymouth Fury green with a big old rust hole where you could see the pavement through the floorboards. And we'd just drive half the night away to get somebody to another part of the state, just so we could see where they came from and hang out with them for a while.
Yeah, I definitely did some of that in college too. And it's fun driving around with friends.
Oh, I do. I really miss kind of those spontaneous road trips, which is why the one that we did yesterday was a little bit more pre-planned, but still was not typical, where you say, you know what, let's just drive up to Hayward, you know, and come back. And we took scenic routes both ways, you know, along the river, and then basically did a lap around the Chippewa flowage. And of course, you know, being the chief nerd of this radio program, while my wife was taking a turn driving, I'm busy looking up little factoids about the Chippewa flowage and the Chippewa River. And I think one of the factoids was like, there's a million tons of sediment a year get deposited by the Chippewa Valley, by the Chippewa River into Lake Pepin, which is why all the time there's dredging operations going on down there, but it's still all glacial wash. It's basically, you know, all the sand that got created and chewed up when the glaciers receded, and that stuff is still being flushed down the river, which is why the Chippewa River is never going to be, shall we say, crystal clear, but still a pretty nice place to go for a boat ride in.
Absolutely.
It is, however, getting the algae appears to be coming on board a little earlier this year. I don't know how much of that is related to weather and the heat, or if there's, you know, more stuff that's just getting washed into the river, but it always serves as a reminder, you know, that we need to try to minimize that kind of activity where we can, of letting things get into the river, you know, unimpeded. It's something we talk about in our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff, and we'll have another edition of that coming up this Wednesday. So be listening for that and more. As far as the many of the other segments that we do throughout the week here on Up North News Radio, and that includes Motherhood Monday, which the Motherhood for Good Ladies will be doing for us in just over 15 minutes from now. But first, we're going to take a break. Then we'll get a forecast update from the meteorologists over at Weatherology. A little bit more background about Up North News for some of our new listeners out there, and an update on the Brewers in Cincinnati. All that and more just ahead. You're up north. This, frankly, ought to be the official ditty of Up North News and Up North News Radio, as we'll explain in just a little bit. We'll also have sports, including the Brewers in Cincinnati and the NBA Finals and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals as well. All that just ahead. But first, it's time to head over to Michael Cairo at Weatherology to tell us about a forecast that may not be quite as hot, but is definitely still amazingly hazy around large parts of Wisconsin, including here, because again, Canada for some reason feels the need to burn its house down, and the smoke is drifting over this way. So it's a hazy but otherwise fair day for now. Michael, good morning. Tell us more about the state forecast.
Yes, the chance for some isolated showers and storms are popping up this afternoon, mainly for northern portions of the state, as a kind of a backdoor cold frontal boundary looks to push the southward out of the UP of Michigan here as we head through the course of the day. So yeah, areas like Wausau, maybe as far south as the Stevens Point vicinity and westward to near Eau Claire, Amory, and Baldwin do pick up that chance for some afternoon showers and storms popping up. But areas like Madison up to near Oshkosh looking to stay dry for today. Our warmest air is still residing across western portions of the state, middle to upper 80s in areas like Eau Claire down to near La Crosse this afternoon. I think Madison up through the Fox River Valley will stick closer to the lower range of the 80s, and then those 70s right along the Lake Michigan shoreline by this afternoon. As we head into tonight, those scattered showers and storms looking to progress southward, so can't rule out some rumbles of thunder by later on tonight as far south as Madison to a near La Crosse line as that frontal boundary continues to work on off to the south and southwest. Overnight low temperatures dropping all the way back into the upper range of the 40s in areas closest to the UP of Michigan, but much of the remainder of the state in the upper 50s to lower range of the 60s. Then into the day on Tuesday, not quite as warm as we've been the past few days. Far western portions of the state, areas closest to the Minnesota border region in the lower range of the 80s. I think we'll stay confined to the upper 70s, though, for Madison. Mid-70s for high temperatures there for the Fox River Valley, and even some cool 60s right along the Lake Michigan shoreline. Some lingering showers and some thunder showers mainly across far western portions of the state for tomorrow. Then as high pressure settles in across the region into the day on Wednesday, looking very pleasant statewide. Lots of sunshine and very comfortable temperature and humidity-wise. High temperatures statewide in the upper 70s to near that 80-degree mark. Thursday, still no issues there. Lots of sunshine across all the state in the upper 70s, close to 80, and Friday dry as well. Our next chance for some showers and storms making a return into the day on Saturday, so we'll bear some watching for those outdoor plans to start off next weekend.
All right. Pleasant temperatures indeed, though. Michael, thanks so much. Have a great day. And again, up here in Lake Wissota, it is 64 degrees. In sports, Adrian Hauser pitched 7 innings. Home runs by Andrew Monasterio, his first ever in his major league career, and Victor Caratini, as the Brewers beat Cincinnati on Sunday 5-1 to hold on to the lead atop the National League Central Division. Hauser allowed just 6 hits, 2 strikeouts, no walks. The Brewers are still in Cincinnati to wrap up that 4-game series tonight, and then they head home to start a series against the Baltimore Orioles starting on Tuesday. We have tickets for Wednesday that are available right now. The first person who'd like to call in and tell us the team name for UW-Eau Claire sports, the team mascot name. Here's a hint. It's based on their colors. And if you can go to the Brewers game on Wednesday and use some really nice tickets and have the tickets emailed to you and haven't won in the past 30 days, then you call us at 844-967-2789. Yeah, that correct answer. You get to go to a game come Wednesday, Brewers against the Orioles. You can listen to the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, all around the Fox Valley. And in the Richland Center area, tune in at WRCE, News from the Center at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. In the Stanley Cup Finals in the National Hockey League, the series right now is underway, and the Vegas Golden Knights lead the Florida Panthers 1-0. Again, it still doesn't sound quite right, Vegas and Florida being in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, but it is what it is. And again, that was game one. Game two will take place on Thursday, Vegas versus Florida down in Miami. And it is, how do I want to put this? To have Miami as the potential Stanley Cup champions and the potential NBA champions is interesting, to say the least, because Miami has tied up, the Heat have tied up the NBA Finals at a game apiece after beating Denver 111-108 and splitting the series there. The next game, game three, will be in Miami come Wednesday. Time now to talk just a bit about, again, for some of the new listeners that are on board and maybe have heard previously of Civic Media and these radio stations and Courier Newsroom and Up North News and Up North News Radio. We thought we'd take a little bit of time to talk about that, to talk about who we are, what we do, why we're doing what we're doing, and hopefully hold your interest and also answer questions that you might have. Take in some of your feedback and give Wisconsin some media choices that have been sorely lacking for a very long time. I mean, I have been saying for probably 20 years, if not more, that Wisconsin needs more of a statewide radio network devoted to Wisconsin news and talk. There have been some limited options along the way, but there needed to be more voices. And frankly, there just need to be more voices beyond right-wing talk, which, you know, of course, dating back to Rush Limbaugh, is omnipresent, poisoning American society and politics, or automated satellite music. It's always have seemed to me that there's something more there that people would want. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, left-wing talk. We don't need to just have a perpetual snowball fight between one polar extreme and the other. There has to be room where people can come together and converse either with radio hosts and guests or through the comment sections about news stories and try to focus on issues and solutions rather than name-calling and scoring political points. So it's something we've wanted to see on the radio side. It's something I've wanted to see on the news side as well. The news side is a little bit different. What I've been looking for there is people to get away from the opposite of going to the polar extremes. Okay, talk radio has been about people on the extreme shouting at each other. News itself has been stuck in the middle, and I don't mean stuck in the middle in a way that they have no bias, because the problem is they've worked so hard not to show a bias that they engage in what I and others refer to as both sidesism. And that's simply a way of saying, well, you know, one person says it's raining and this person says it's not raining. That's not the job of a newsroom. The newsroom is not supposed to say, well, he says it's raining and she says it's not raining. Their job is to open the window and to tell you that it is raining or that it is not raining, and not just simply both sides it and say, well, they say this and they have a point. And we've known about this before the age of Trump, especially with right-wing media, but even more so now, where you still have election denialism, and yet you still have far too many newsrooms willing to give deference and attention. Yes, there's more fact-checking than there used to be, but not nearly enough, and still far too much giving platforms to people to spread misinformation or even disinformation, which is intentional lying. More platforms than ever to do that. And if any fact-checking is done, it's done after the point. And that's just wrong. What our newsrooms need is what some have called point-of-view journalism, meaning it's journalism. It is rooted in facts. It tells you the news of the day. But instead of engaging in both sides-ism, it tells you, we're coming your way with a certain set of values as we report the news. If you know this up front, then you will get more information out of the news and the stories that we bring you. And that's what we do at Up North News through our parent Courier Newsroom. Courier Newsroom is a civic media company with 8 state-based newsrooms in Wisconsin and Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona. And when we do that, we tell you right on our website in the About Us page what it is that we believe and the things that we think should be reported on more than just horse race type stories. We are unabashedly Wisconsin. We live here, we work here, we play here, we love it here, and therefore we should never shy away from that fact, and we should never act as cold observers detached from the people and places that we cover, and we should never appear to be detached from the democracy that is the base for a free press and free elections. And so election denialism has to be first and foremost, but right on its heels has to be reporting on the efforts to undermine democracy, which include voter suppression, which, as we've discussed on this program before, is not necessarily overt. It's sometimes those very subtle things like taking away drop boxes or trying to drop people from the voter rolls, people who shouldn't be dropped from the voter rolls. But if you give them another hurdle that they have to jump over, they might just throw up their hands and decide not to vote. Well, that's not just political mischief. That's an actual attack on democracy and needs to be called out. So we're very upfront in our values to say that the attack on voting rights subverts democracy, and we should do everything possible, and every newsroom should do whatever is possible to push back on that. We come right and tell you our values include that gerrymandering by any political party poisons our politics and allows people to become complacent, that not enough newsrooms tell you government is an essential part of our lives and that its primary goal should be to help people succeed and not to mindlessly shrink itself. We have values out there that access to health care and affordable housing and usable public transportation are fundamentally good to our state's well-being. We're right out there saying climate change is real and it threatens everyone, either through increasingly severe storms or algae blooms or floods that devastate our farms, that it affects every one of us, and it is not doing anybody any favors to platform those who engage in denialism with zero scientific evidence on their side. We come out and tell you that communities across Wisconsin face a crisis due to ever-declining state aid and harsh limits on the options to raise tax revenue, often through regressive means, and that this causes direct harm to municipalities when you take away local control. We tell you public schools should be properly and equitably funded. We tell you that efforts to undermine science-based responses to healthcare, like the COVID-19 pandemic, should not only not be tolerated, they should be called out for what they are: public health risks. If you know those are our values, then you'll look at our reporting, and you may not always agree with it, but you will know that it is rooted in facts that can foster a discussion, as opposed to other newsrooms that will, through intention or omission, not share a full story with you. And we try to do better than that here at Up North News, and certainly through the Civic Media radio stations as well. Motherhood Monday is next. You're Up North.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
We will have Motherhood Monday for you in just a second, but first we've got to do a little good news, bad news, good news thing for you. Initially, we had a winner of the Brewers tickets, somebody who knew the team name for the Eau Claire, UW-Eau Claire sports teams. And then she called back and said that she was going to go to the game with a certain friend who can't go now, so she wanted to let somebody else use the tickets who could go. So we'll just keep the question right out there, because again, I know that everybody listening on our new stations up in the Chippewa Valley and Amory and Hayward, and you're all screaming the answer at the radio, but you probably can't get down to Milwaukee for a ball game on Wednesday. So this is really geared more toward, you know, the folks closer to Milwaukee, our Waukesha and our Madison area listeners. If you know the name for the UW-Eau Claire sports teams, and you call us at 844-967-2789. We've got a couple of tickets for Wednesday night's game, Brewers against Baltimore. If we don't give them away here, we'll turn them over to Chad Holmes or one of the other shows and let them give it away. But we'd love to have you get them if you could take the chance. All right, Nicole Slave and Kate Duffy are with us as they are every other Monday from Motherhood for Good. Rachel Mays, the assistant city attorney for Green Bay, is their guest this week. Kate, Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
We are at Pride Month here in June, and we understand that that can raise a host of issues from the parenting standpoint. There is so much that gets said from the political standpoint, and some of it quite ugly, shall we say. And we're here more to talk about the original issues that are involved here, whether it's from a parenting standpoint or from kids or their friends or what have you. So Nicole, Kate, a kind of a jump ball for you as far as how you decided to break down the topic for us today.
Well, I think it's such a large issue. It's not nearly enough time to jump in and do it, but we kind of decided to approach it from three different buckets, if you will. It's, hey, parenting as a member of the LGBTQ community, what that encompasses and how, daily life affects you in today's climate. Then the second bucket is, what if your child comes out and parenting a child who identifies as part of the LGBTQ plus community? And then finally, how can we as parents and moms be proper allies, and what can we be doing all day, every day, not just during Pride Month, to make sure that we are taking good care of the LGBTQ plus community?
All right. So, Kate, that takes that to you to introduce our guest.
I'm actually going to let Nicole introduce the guest, because I know they are actually pretty close and have been in communication lately. So, Nicole, take it away.
All right. You bet. Well, so super, super, super excited. We knew we had our first Pride show during June. Rachel was the automatic thought and person we hope to have. So Rachel Mays will be our guest today, and the list of wonderful, wonderful accomplishments that would follow Rachel. I'll let Rachel pick how she wants to introduce herself. So take it away, Rachel.
Welcome.
All right. Well, I'm a local attorney. I'm heavily involved in nonprofit work in the greater Green Bay area. I'm on the board of, I think it's 7 boards of directors. I'm a mom. I try to be involved with my kids however I can, whether that's, you know, attending baseball games or, you know, driving my daughter to Girl Scouts or whatever needs to happen. I think I'll just leave it at that. I don't need to dislocate my shoulder patting myself on the back.
We'll do it for you. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about the work that you're doing in the nonprofit sector, especially in this space, especially up in Green Bay and the climate there, and how that work is affecting your family and your community, and kind of just the importance of Pride Month and how it's going up there?
Sure. Yeah. So I do run a peer group for transgender adults and non-binary adults. I am a board of directors member for the Bay Area Council on Gender Diversity. And I take whatever opportunities I can to speak to queer kids in the greater Green Bay area, whether that's with GSA groups or at LGBTQ summits, just to let them know that they can be themselves here in Wisconsin, here in Northeast Wisconsin, and that they don't have to flee to, you know, liberal strongholds like Portland or New York or LA or Boston in order to live their best lives and show up to school and to jobs and to activities as their whole self. So just getting in front of kids and, you know, giving them space to, you know, express themselves is really important. I think as an LGBTQ parent, there are some struggles and challenges that I face and that my wife faces. I'm still getting used to saying wife, just got married a little over 2 weeks ago. So, we went on our family moon down in Florida, and it was tough having a conversation with my 4-year-old about why she was going up to everybody and saying, you know, I'm from Wisconsin and I have 3 moms, and having a conversation about how going up to someone from Tennessee and having that conversation may not be the best idea. And how do you couch that language to a 4-year-old that my relationship with my wife is somehow different than a straight cisgender couple who got married, and how people see that differently without othering our relationship or making it seem somehow negative. So there's conversations like that, and even just going out to restaurants. If you have a middle-aged man and woman with a 10, an 8, and a 4-year-old sitting in a booth, at the end of the meal, I don't know too many servers who would ask, is this all together? Probably 95% of the time when we go out to eat, we get asked, is this together? Or is this on one check? It's just little things that people may take for granted that they don't have to address on a daily basis, and especially with kids and in front of kids. So it's just a different view on our family dynamic.
And it certainly sounds like there isn't a right answer there, which simply reaffirms the need for peer groups, for communication, because again, there's no one right answer. But if you at least talk about situations or contingencies, you know, what worked, what didn't work in any given area, which frankly is a lot of what parenting is altogether. There's no one recipe book, or, you know, Nicole, Kate, and I would, you know, wouldn't have nearly as many, you know, gray hairs and lines and things that I have, and someday they will. Is the peer group, tell me more about that. Is it a, you know, kind of a large thing that you do? Is there a lot of one-on-one small group?
So I attend a peer group that is at the Napoli's Lounge. The second longest running gay bar in Wisconsin is right here in Green Bay. And my friend Martha organizes and runs that peer group. And it's just an opportunity for people to show up as they are. And it's not getting into, you know, the heavy baggage of therapy. I mean, we certainly, you know, discuss some heavy issues and heavy matters as friends. But it's specifically not like a therapy session or a support group. We can show up and have space to be ourselves. The peer group I just started it back in November, and we're still growing. But it's it's at a coffee shop, and it's via a monthly Zoom meeting. So we've got two different times where we can touch base with each other. And it's just to have someone to lean on during tough times, to celebrate successes and achievements and good times, and to not have to explain your identity at the outset of every conversation. You can just show up and be you and talk about the weather, or you know, what fun things do you have planned for Pride Month, or you know, what are you doing to take care of yourself and to show a little self-care. So it runs a full gamut of different types of conversations, but it's just a group of like-minded people, similarly situated, who are just trying to connect and have someone to lean on, and have a social network that can help support you.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I love what you mentioned of doing that work, you know, up in Green Bay, up in like having groups like that more up in northern Wisconsin, because obviously we do have Madison and Milwaukee here are very liberal leaning, but folks should know that they don't have to flee, and they don't have to go to those bigger cities, and they can seek out groups like yours that are doing really important work there and get involved and feel seen and heard. And I just love that. And I have to really quickly say congratulations. That is so exciting. What does like true good allyship look like to you? And I know I just have to say this is probably different to everybody. So knowing you're not, you know, speaking for the entire community, but what does that look like to you and your family? What can people do to show up for the community in a helpful, genuine way?
Well, I think from a family dynamic, it's just understanding that families are different, and different doesn't mean better or worse. I mean, some kids have one parent, whether that's a mom or a dad. Some kids have two parents and they have a mom and a dad, or they have two dads or two moms. And then, I mean, the different types of family styles, parents divorce and remarry. So some kids may have three parents or four parents. And just understanding that, you know, as long as kids are in an environment where they're loved and supported, like that's what matters. The best interest of the kids is what matters. So for the parents out there who have, you know, LGBTQ kids, unconditional love means unconditional, and supporting your kid through thick and thin, and giving them space to, when they enter the dating scene, you know, if they bring home a boyfriend or a girlfriend, instead of grilling them on the gender of the person that they're drawn to, asking questions like, does this person treat you well? Does this person make you happy? Like, do you have commonalities? Do you feel good when you're in their presence? And focusing on that aspect of relationships. More in general, for allyship, is speaking up when LGBTQ folks aren't in the room. I think that there are a lot of conversations that happen when, you know, uncles or grandparents or neighbors or, you know, parent-teacher organizations or whoever it may be, get together, and they think that they're in a safe space, and, you know, they make comments that either use LGBTQ folks as the butt of a joke or as a punchline, or just making off-color comments and standing up to say those comments, they're not cool, they're not acceptable, they're not edgy. And just, you know, I know, Nicole, you like to ask people to repeat themselves.
That's my favorite. That always works. I don't get the joke. Can you say that again? Or I didn't hear you. What was that? It works 99% of the time.
Nicole, that's amazing. That is
again.
I really could have used that the other day at a particular watering hole that I was at. Instead, they just kind of saw that I was giving them a look, and it stopped that real quick.
But usually accompanies it. I'll preface.
I don't doubt that. And that's the thing. That's where we can be sometimes do the most good, is not defending somebody when they're right there, but defending people that, you know, we love and support all the time, wherever we are, whether it's having one of these little, you know, lapel pins that says you can be yourself with me, or, you know, attending an event, or just being there, not even as a peer group, sometimes just as a friend. So Rachel, Nicole, and Kate, it's so great to see you. Thank you so much for your leadership, and just for your friendship to others. It means so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's all ours. We'll wrap up today's conversation in just a bit. You're up north.
Welcome back.
Just a totally self-serving bumper song here for somebody who's back on the airwaves in the Chippewa Valley at some point is... 93.5 The Tap gets set to come on air here shortly, and when it does, we'll be bringing local talk, local Wisconsin-based news talk back to the Chippewa Valley, something I'd been doing at Wax and Away Radio, the two stations in Eau Claire there for some time before jumping over to Channel 13 and becoming a reporter and anchor over there. So it's a nice little homecoming, but frankly, it's a welcome back as well for Wisconsin-based radio programs, of which there are going to be so many more here that Aaron will be a part of in some way, shape, or form. I don't know that we've still figured out your work day. Do you know where you go at 8:01 this morning yet?
I do now. We have it figured out, thankfully. So as long as I'm still in the closet on University Avenue before mm-hmm. we move to the new studios fully, the way that it works is I'm here for Up North News Radio. I step out of the room. Luke steps in. Luke Mathers, who's back from vacation today. So the welcome back also kind of works for him.
Well, and welcome to a new role. Rather than dueling tangents, he's now like ace reporter, news guy, Luke Mathers.
Yeah, he's going to give us a live newscast every morning at 8 now. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's going to be a new show on at least a few of these stations. Of course, I didn't open the schedule to remember exactly which ones, but I'll
find out. There's five different shows going on at 8 o'clock, which just tells you the breadth of the shows that are around here. One of them doesn't even start today. I think Stu Daniels starts on Wednesday, right?
Yes, the Stu Daniels show starts on Wednesday. Today, there's a placeholder. We have Crudy and Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. I see him walking in on the security camera right now.
Oh dear. See, lock that up. And then Crudy and some guy named Pat Kreitlow, I think on Wednesday, are the partial placeholder.
Or Tuesday.
And then Stu will get going on Wednesday, I believe, and my list may be outdated, but Stu will be on the stations in La Crosse, Hayward, Amory, Oshkosh, and Richland Center.
That is correct.
Meanwhile, WFHR Mornings, which used to start at 7 a.m., now runs 8 to 10 in the morning, in Wisconsin Rapids on locally grown radio, WFHR. Earl Ingram will be on from 8 to 10 in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine. Stephanie Miller will be on 8 to 10 in Madison. And then Chad Holmes will move from afternoons to mornings on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Does that all sound pretty close to you, I think, more or less?
That kind seems right.
All right. So a lot to choose from there between 8 and 10. And so if there's a show that you're looking to listen to and it's not in your market, again, you can just go to the Civic Media webpage, civicmedia.us, and look for the shows there and subscribe to them as a podcast. Then from 10 to noon, that's the new time slot for As Goes Wisconsin. In every market except Madison, because Stephanie Miller will be on from 8 to 11, and so As Goes Wisconsin will be on from 11 to noon in Madison, but 10 to noon every place else. And then things get really fun over the noon hour when Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has a newscast straight up at noon. And then I think he goes, about 15 minutes or so before Luke and William Walter take over?
Yep, that's correct.
With something called Town Call. Kind of like town hall, but you know, the show's only going to work if you call in and comment on the news. And so Luke and William will be looking to take your calls on that. Then the aforementioned Todd Alba, he moves to afternoons. He now is on from 1 to 3 statewide, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Then at 3 o'clock, another split. You have Matt Flynn, who's on most markets except in Wisconsin Rapids, which will have a local show, Rolling with Rapids. And our stations in Amory and Hayward will pick up Matt McNeil from the Twin Cities. Devil's Advocates are around from 4 until 6. Maggie Dunn from 6 to 7 p.m. And then our various weekly shows come on at 7 o'clock in the evening. Tonight will be the Paul Revere Show. That, of course, was with attorney Mark Thompson, except in Madison, which I believe the show is unheard of.
I think so.
I don't think what I mean is I think that's the title of the show. I don't think the show is actually unheard of, but I could be wrong. Busted Pencils airs on Tuesday, Empowered Caregivers on Wednesday, Raised in Wisco on Thursdays. And then Friday is either, was it Pizza Box Mike or a replay of the Paul Revere Show,
yes,
depending on the market that you're in. And then, so there's all of this, with the exception of Stephanie Miller, these are all shows that have either a Wisconsin or a Midwestern tie-in. And so you don't get to a national show on this network of stations all across the network until 8 o'clock at night. And from 8 to 10, it's the Rick Smith Show. And while Rick Smith is based out of Pennsylvania, it is a show very much geared toward the Midwest. Rick is a union truck driver who has a very intense focus on workers and worker conditions and just, you know, treating the middle class fairly overall, and especially all across the great Midwest. And he's just a dynamic personality, takes calls, has great guests. And so if you've never sampled the Rick Smith Show, you would want to do that from 8 to 10 weeknights, or again, check it out online. And then Native Roots Radio moves to 10 p.m. on weeknights. Then there's all manner of weekly shows on all the various stations. You know, comedian Charlie Behrens has his Cripes Cast. That's on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. The Earl Ingram Show on Mondays features former Green Bay Packer Gilbert Brown, the Gravedigger, in a segment called Under the Helmet. There's former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel with Morning Cannolis. There's This Week in Waukesha on WAUK. There's Max Inc. Radio in Madison. There's Director's Cut in Wisconsin Rapids. There's Over the Back Fence. There's the Big High School Sports Show with Chad Holmes in Wausau. Just no shortage of Wisconsin-based programs that we'd love for you to sample. Give us your feedback and hopefully become either a regular listener and or a regular subscriber. So that's everything that you see through Civic Media. And then, as I mentioned before, Up North News is a separate entity that has this radio show, but is rooted primarily through a website, upnorthnewswi.com. We're also on social media. Look up upnorthnewswi. Don't forget the WI. We'd love to have you there. And also, we have a daily newsletter that you can sign up for on our website. And then you can also follow me on Facebook. Go look up Pat Kreitlow Up North. And that's where I put my political posts, or you can follow me on Twitter at Pat Kreitlow. And those are the places where I would love to convey to you what we're working on for Up North News. So there is no shortage of Wisconsin-based programming to hear about news and headlines and comments. And Mary, we really appreciate your recognizing what we're doing. And Roger, thank you for welcoming all the new listeners across the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, and Racine, Kenosha. We appreciate very much having you around. And look forward to doing it again come Tuesday, 6 o'clock in the morning, here on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Hope you're having a great start to the week. We'll see you tomorrow.